As we have, over the last several weeks and months, been calling on you and encouraging you to pray for revival, you just heard them saying that in later years, great revivals came when saints would seek the Lord and pray. Once again, we need that holy flame to meet the challenge of today. Quite fitting, and thank you, choir, for the anthem. Quite fitting that the line in the anthem is to meet the challenge of today, and that's somewhat of what I'm going to speak of here. In Paul's writings to the church in Galatia, they had a problem in their day, which is quite evident in our day as well. And the question is how do we regard Holy Scripture? How do we regard the gospel? What do we think of the holy text? Is it an archaic document that men 2,000 plus years ago wrote, and we of a significant higher intelligence today regard it differently? What do we think of the holy text as we have it? Is it inerrant? Is it infallible? Is it, as I confessed in the prayer, good for all matters of faith and practice today? See, Paul, when writing to the church in Galatia, he was not happy with them at all. And if you can sort of, as I read this text to you, if you can hear an attitude, a bit of emotion behind his words, it is not his customary greeting that he gives the church in Galatia. If you read the letters to the Corinth church, as much trouble as they were having, he still prayed for them and had thanksgiving. If you read the letter to the church in Thessalonica, a wonderful letter of love and nurture and admiration, especially the letter to the Ephesians, he had great love for the Ephesian church. You just don't hear that warm language in his writing to the Galatian church. And here I will read to you why. But join me in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You know, sometimes we preachers, when we have so many guests in the house, we look at the passage that we're going to preach from, and it's not quite the warm and fuzzy and type of sermon. And we are challenged to sometimes hold back on some of the words and some of the language. And so I have great respect for you being here with us, and I am one known to preach the truth of the gospel just as we read it. And so I leave it to you that way. As I said, Paul is not happy with the Galatian church. And if you look at verse 6, it is a very strong statement. I am astonished. You see, Paul had been in this area some years before in his missionary journeys. He had shared the word of Christ with them, had seen churches built up, had left some people back to take care. And so now he is beginning to hear from the Galatian church that the Judaizers, if you will, some have influenced infiltrated, had made their way into the church, and are now beginning to move them away from the gospel of grace. Because you see, these who are in the are beginning to have sway in the Galatian church are from the old ways. That believing in Jesus Christ was okay, but you should be circumcised as well. What Christ has begun in you, Moses needs to finish. That was the matter before them this day. The language here is not nice, as I've said. The actual Greek words would be translated very similar to our words traitor, turncoat, deserter. Ones who have been shown a certain way of life, have been given truth, but have literally turned their back on it. And you can imagine Paul is one who is fervent and on fire for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to see one desert and to turn away, he is not a happy man. This statement, this verse 6 that I've read to you here, is basically the essence of the entire book of Galatians. Because in the remainder of the book, he centers his argument around their moving toward the law, and moving toward the law, the restrictions that are being placed on them. And Paul's message is a message of grace. It is the grace of Jesus Christ. It is through the love and the grace of Jesus Christ that you are saved. And this, not any work of your own. And the Judaizers, these who are infiltrating in the church, are trying to bring a works-based religion, a works-based effort into their congregation. They have turned their allegiance from the free grace to a works righteousness. And Paul will not stand for this. Look with me at verse 6 and 7. I'll read on into 7. He says that what they are preaching is really no gospel at all. I'll call it a clue to what Paul is speaking about. You see, there are many who try to come in and preach a certain way of life and say, this is the way we should live. And they may term it good news. They may term it that this is a way to live. But Paul is saying you are perverting the gospel. Meaning, what you are saying, what the Judaizers are saying here, that's really no gospel at all. Instead of preaching the free grace of Jesus Christ, you're putting bondages. You're trapping the people to please yourselves. This thing that they are preaching to the Galatian church is no gospel at all. And why does Paul stand so firmly against this teaching? Well, it goes against the gospel, as I've said. But see, here is the real core of the issue, I think, for Paul, and it should be the core to us. When we hear of those who turn against the gospel, when we hear of those who do not hold strongly to the word of God, it is not simply denying the word, but it is denying the author of the word. It is denying the one whom the word is subject of. If we deny this word, we are also denying Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying here to you, when you preach this false gospel, you are also preaching a false God. When you are denying the free grace of Jesus Christ, you are also denying his work. Paul says, you have fallen away from grace. As I've said to my congregation many times growing up in the Pentecostal church, I understand this all too clearly. Grace was not a word mentioned often as I was growing up. I learned how many different ways I was going to hell. Believe me, I do understand and believe entirely that hell is real. But to have people believe in Jesus Christ, yes, there is the idea of judgment. Yes, there is the idea of these things that we are to do and be fearful of. But as I've learned in my days since those youthful days, that the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God is so, so, so much more than the bondages of the dues that people try to put on you. I tried to, as I was putting this sermon together, to think of the strongest words I could possibly use to undergird this idea of the authority of the Word of God in our churches today. As I asked you in the beginning, how do we regard this Word? How do we regard this gospel? Is it true and right? Is it good? Is it inerrant? Is it given by the Holy Spirit through the inspiration of these men who penned it so many years ago? Or, as some have argued, these were just guys that followed Jesus for a while, and they came up with these stories to undergird their religion so that they would have a following. This is their ideas, their opinions, especially Paul. Because Paul has some pretty frank things to say, especially today in our society. And so many people want to deny Paul and say, well, this is just his words. These are not from Jesus. You didn't hear that kind of language from Jesus Christ. Well, I cannot overemphasize the importance of the matter, nor can Paul, because listen to how he terms or how he views those that speak of this word and teach it other than its intended way. Look with me at verse 8 and 9. But if we, if Paul were to preach a different gospel, or if an angel comes from heaven and preaches something different than what you find in text, if angel or we from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so I now say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. In the Greek, the phrase eternally condemned is the strongest word of condemnation that the text has. Anathema. This is not a slight slap on the hand. This is not putting you in time out. This is not restricting you from watching TV in the afternoons. This is eternal condemnation. As a preacher, if I stand here and bring something to you other than what I find in text, then anathema is to be my punishment. As I've said, that's the strongest word of condemnation found in text. Eternal condemnation for that one who would preach anything other than what we find given to us by the apostles, given to them through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. As I've said, I've searched for words to try to make this as strong as I possibly can. Because today, this is the place where the church is faltering. The church is faltering. We have authors who write volume after volume against Paul's teaching of justification, saying that his view of justification is totally out of place. We have individuals who will preach against the supernatural that we find in text. We have those who will take this part of text and say, yes, I like that, or no, I don't like that. And so we're holding it into subjection to our wisdom. Folks, it's not the pagans outside that's questioning so much the Word of God. You expect that from the non-believer. But it's the individuals who sit on the pews. It's the individuals who stand behind the pulpit, just as I'm doing today, and hold this word so very loosely. Folks, Paul could write this letter to the churches in the United States today, and many of us would be guilty. In our men's Bible study, that we meet a couple of times a month. I'd like to remind you, men, that we do have a Bible study, and I would love to see more of you there. But as we've been going through our thinking and our teaching and our discussions, it's amazing how many times this very idea comes to the forefront. What do we believe about the Word of God? How do we hold the Word of God? How important is it to us here in this church? I told the elders, they have a responsibility to protect this pulpit. Don't let anyone stand in this pulpit that would lead you in error. Because I don't want anyone in here to be eternally condemned. So how do we recognize a true gospel? How do we recognize a true gospel? Actually, it's very simple. First of all, it's substance. It's subject. Is the gospel message about Jesus Christ? Is it about the grace of Jesus Christ? Is it about the teachings of Jesus Christ? Is it centered around the work of Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ the subject of which we are talking about? Second is to recognize and accept its source. This word that you hold in your hand, how did we get it? How is it preserved down through the ages for us today? Jesus Christ called 12 men to himself. Paul came later. But each of them were identified by the Holy Spirit and were inspired to write what we have in the New Testament. I believe it to be very true for the Old Testament as well. As the Holy Spirit would come to those who would write the Old Testament text, inspire them in what they would write. It's not their own ideas. It's not their own opinions. It's the Word of God given to men, through men, and preserved for us down through the ages by the Holy Spirit. The true gospel is the gospel of the apostles of Jesus Christ. And if we call it anything else, if we deny what Paul writes, if we deny what James writes, if we deny what Matthew writes, then that cursed language is for us as well. In the men's Bible study, one said that a visitor said that your preacher preaches straight from the Bible. As I confessed, I do try to do that. I also confess that makes it very easy for me. I'm not smart enough to come up with all these meanderings and wanderings. I just preach what's here. Because what we need is what's here. We don't need the wisdom of today. Look how that's working for us. I'm so thankful, as I told the men in our Bibles, I'm so thankful that we here at New Sterling, we're not engaged in this battle of what is or is not authorized or what is or is not the Word of God. It is. And I'm thankful that all of you, I pray all of you here today, have the same impression that I do. This is the Word of God. I have no choice. I submit to it. I believe it to be fully inerrant. I believe it to be fully inspired. I believe it to be fully authorized by the Holy Spirit as He desired. And it's preserved for us here today by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not an archaic book. It's not an archaic language. The Holy Spirit that inspired those men to write it that day, work in my heart and soul so that I might understand it, does for you as well. It's the same Holy Spirit. Folks, if there could be, and see, this here's where I'm going to get in trouble when you say one idea in the Bible is more important than another. But if you could say that there is a foundational piece of the church that we need to emphasize this passage, this message is it. How do we regard Holy Scripture? How do we regard Holy Scripture? Do we try to finagle it? Do we try to massage it so it fits our liking? Or do we hold it simply as it is? We get in trouble when we try to do which Paul confesses he is not doing. If you look with me at verse 10, and he says this several times through this book. Verse 10, he says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? See, here's the problem. When preachers today try to please individuals in the church by saying or not saying what's in text is when we get in trouble. I care how you feel and I care what you think. But there's a limit. There's a limit. I'm not concerned about making you happy as it comes to the preached word. I'm concerned only with bringing you the text as simple and clearly as I can. And I depend on the work of the Spirit to clearly bring that word to you as it is offered. I pray we never receive a letter like Paul had to write to the church in Galatia. Let's pray together. Father, bless us with your Spirit. Bless us with your teaching, because we do indeed desire to hold the gospel truly and clearly as it is given. Bless all of these today with the understanding and with the knowledge of the work of Jesus Christ as it is given to us in holy text. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.